Our text for this evening's meditation is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. These words: "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, here we are, faced with death again, the death of Jesus, the death of the Christ. And this may be getting to be too much, too much. I mean, isn't there something else we could talk about when it comes to Jesus? Maybe something Jesus taught, or something about a miracle like giving a blind man sight, or even better, let's talk about Lazarus. Yes, Lazarus, the man whom Jesus raised from the dead in Bethany, not too far from Jerusalem, the week before he was crucified. Let's hear about that. Let's hear about life. Let's hear about the overcoming of death. Let's not hear about death. There's too much death. Way too much. Well, you're right about that. Even if we were not experiencing a pandemic right now, there would still be way too much death. There would still be, as I noted a couple of weeks ago now, there would still be every day in the United States 7,452 people dying. And every year throughout the world, 56 million people dying. 56 million. That's the number of people that were killed in World War II. Every day throughout the world, 153,000 people are dying. 153,000 every day. So you're right. It's way too much dying, way too much death. That being so, what's so important about the death of just one person, about the death of Jesus? Well, there must be something important about it, about the death of Jesus, because the Apostle Paul, writing to the Christians in Corinth, asserts that as often as they celebrated the Lord's Supper, what they were doing was not just receiving bread and wine, not just receiving the body and blood of Christ, but every time they celebrated the Lord's Supper, there in Corinth, those Corinthian Christians were proclaiming the death of that one man, the death of Jesus. Why? Well, the death of Jesus was a sacrifice to God. A sacrifice to God for the sins of mankind. The blood Christ shed there on the cross was shed for us, to cover the sins that we commit every single day. And being so covered by Jesus for us, God does not count our sins against us. At least God does not count the sins against anyone who believes in Jesus as their Savior from sin. But how does that work then? How does it work that the sacrifice of one man, Jesus, can mean so much for everyone else in the world? I mean, Muhammad wasn't sacrificed in such a way, neither was the Buddha. But both have been and continue to be very influential religious figures in the world. Both of them simply died peaceful deaths. But Jesus was crucified on a cross. Is that the significance? Merely the fact that Jesus was sacrificed instead of dying peacefully like other famous religious teachers? No. The reason the sacrifice of Christ was significant was because Jesus was not just a religious teacher, not even just a man. But Jesus was God. Jesus was God who took on humanity, the human nature, in order so that he could do just that, sacrifice himself for the sins of the world. And just like the priests in the temple in Jerusalem would share in the meal of the sacrifices made there, so Christians, since the time of Christ, at his bidding on the night that he was betrayed, share in his New Testament, the Lord's Supper, in which they receive the body and blood of Christ in with and under the simple forms of bread and wine. Why? Well, it was the body and blood of Christ that was given and shed for us for the remission, the forgiveness of sins. And since this is so, we have peace with God. Having peace with God, we can live each day not worrying about our sin, not worrying about our death, not even worrying about death. For we know now that through faith in Jesus, our sins are forgiven. We therefore can be confident towards God, confident that God isn't against us, and even more, confident that we're not against ourselves. As we can walk around each day, not condemning ourselves for all the mistakes we've made and keep on making. For at the end of the day, our guilt, it's so disabling, isn't it? So disabling. I mean, guilt can be so disabling that we'd rather have pain. We'd rather have pain than guilt. So at least there's no moral aspect to pain, but there is to guilt. So having our consciences cleansed from sin, from our sin by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross on our behalf, we can live tonight, right now, this moment, truly guilt-free. And all of this, it flows from the celebration of the Lord's Supper. All of this flows from the proclamation of the death of Christ through that supper. All of this flows from the death of Christ. But perhaps still troubling, still nagging is this idea. If Christ, our Savior, died, does that not mean that we, his followers, his disciples, also must die? I mean, that makes sense, right? Makes sense. In that Christ is our teacher and Lord, it would make sense that if Christ were crucified, died, and buried, we also, as Christians, as followers of Christ, should be crucified, die, and buried. In other words, as often as we eat the bread of the New Testament of Christ and drink the cup of the New Testament of Christ, we proclaim our own deaths until Christ returns. Now that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right, Pastor. I mean, isn't Christianity all about getting ahead? All about establishing and maintaining some sort of right relationship with God so we can get ahead in this world? Isn't Christianity simply about being in the know? About grasping what is truly going on all around us, not only physically, not only socially and economically, but also spiritually as well. So that no matter how bad things get, Christians will be on top of things. Christians will be prepared. Christians will be ready for action when everything collapses. Or isn't Christianity all about living in some sort of spiritual dream world, in which Christians can just ignore everyone and everything around them and living in their own tiny little bubble, their own little world of fellow Christians, they can be satisfied because only there are they loved. Only there are they valued because, let's face it, those Christians, they were total failures when it comes to the world. A safe place. That's what Christianity is, isn't it, Pastor? But a place where Christians are proclaiming their own death? How can that be? Well, it can be because just like our Savior Jesus, Christ died for our sins, so too must we daily die. But not die for our sin, but die to our sin. That is, daily distance ourselves, not just from others nowadays, but daily let's distance ourselves from sin. Let's distance ourselves from the sin that clings to the old man, exposing it for what it is through our confession of it and fully admitting that it must die. Our old man, our body of sin, it must die so that our new man, that created in the image and likeness of Christ within us by the Holy Spirit of God, will emerge and live daily in the resurrection life of our Lord and Savior. That life, it's a life of peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control and joy and love. There finally is the talk of resurrection. Talk of the new man living daily in the resurrected life of our Lord and Savior Jesus. But such a resurrection living can never be lived apart from the life of crucifixion dying. Such a life of resurrection living can never be lived apart from the life of crucifixion dying. So Romans 6, you know this passage. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now we've died with Christ. We believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So you see, considering ourselves, thinking about ourselves dead to sin, we must daily recognize that sin which still adheres to us, and confessing it, expose it for what it is, that which has been crucified with Christ and buried. So again, as often as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we not only proclaim the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but we proclaim our own death as well. Death of our old man. The daily death of our old man. And the daily coming forth, emerging, appearing of our new man resurrected with Christ and in Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.